This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We got a lot to talk about today, don't we, ladies and gentlemen?
You got a 20-win ball club in baseball.
How about that?
Climbing up. I'm going to clap all morning. I hope they hate it.
Yeah. Who's going to hate it? The text line's going to hate it?
Who knows?
I don't care who hates it. Big day. Knicks got a nice win. Did you see the game last night, Mac? Did you watch the NBA? I did. I saw the Knicks win last night. Bob, I watched the game.
And Bob, you're a big NBA guy.
Blinds were closed.
Huge NBA guy. Had the blinds closed. Smart move on your part. Yeah.
Well, the problem is the blinds were closed when they were up 20.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. There's Celtics no doubt. Closed the blinds.
Celtics did close the blinds on that one last night. And I'm not going to lie. The Knicks go down 20. And so then I went inside and fixed some dinner. We got home late. And then the comeback started. I'm like, all right, I'm dialed in. And I didn't move.
On the come.
It was truly unbelievable to watch that comeback. Last night. And so it was a great win, but more importantly, a great loss by the Boston Celtics because a lot of times we talk about sports, right? And we're like, all right, who's at fault for the loss? And we never credit who wins. But is last night one of those games that the Celtics lost or the Knicks won that game last night? Because I can make the case it was a game that the Celtics absolutely blew. That Bobby Mottola coach for the Celtics sucks. This whole coach in the NBA stuff.
Take your medicine.
You're missing 45 threes, but let's continue to shoot because the nerds tell us to, and that's the way to do it. We're going to shoot ourselves out of this shooting slump.
Frustrating.
Being up 20, you went 6 of 26 from the 3-point line the rest of the way. But by all means, keep shooting the 3-point shot. Keep doing that. Coaching. Take a timeout. Get the ball inside. Let's do some layups here. It's not working.
You live and die by it.
You do, which is stupid.
By the way, the sun comes up earlier, so I'm going to open up the blinds a little bit for everybody.
A fantastic defender in Holiday.
Now the switch. Brunson at three.
Oh!
Kicks by three after trailing by 20.
And he can also draw a foul.
That's a three. Got another one. He is a machine.
Player over.
The spin off Holiday. Inside he goes. Outside in. And Obi three. Good! Shot clock at six. Now over Robinson, three, no! Rebound right through his hands, picked up by McBride!
Little dribble handoff here.
Towns, Brunson up for the lead!
No! Oh, man!
It's off to Tatum, The defense was there. We have got overtime. Send.
Oh, what a steal by Bridges.
By Bridges. In a congested corner, he somehow dug it out. Inside in, and over the cut, and the jam, and the foul. Tatum is there. In the corner, Bridges, three, bullseye. Mm. It's a six-point New York lead in overtime.
And move.
On the fly, another miss. Whoa, and tipped in by Towns. Pulled down by Holiday. It's out to Brown. He's open from three. Got it.
That's the one he hit.
The one he hit. Bridge is there. They hold it. They drop it. It's over. The Knicks have won.
What a game. What an entertaining game. What a very, very entertaining.
I mean, it was. Entertaining is the way to put it, man. It really was.
And we had our NBA expert.
From a historical perspective, from a meaningful standpoint, from a branding standpoint for the NBA, like, this is a great series for the NBA. It should do some really good ratings. I mean,
I think this will be the least entertaining basketball series of the four. I mean, just the discrepancy. It's not arrogance. No, it's not arrogance. I haven't even said anything.
You just did. You mean you haven't said anything? You just go, I think this is going to be the worst series
of the
least
entertaining basketball series of the four. But I think there's reasons for it. I don't think that's arrogance. I don't think that has nothing.
Okay, so explain why.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, you could ask why. I think the Celtics are the second best team in the NBA, if not the first. So right there.
Who would else be better?
Thunder. I think it'd be Thunder, Celtics, and then like Cavs, and then like Nuggets-ish. I just think the basketball will be better. The games will be closer. It'll go seven games. I get you, though, from a marketing standpoint, no question.
All of the pressure is on Boston.
100%.
And sometimes I like going into these series as underdogs. You've got an opportunity for a team that are the Knicks to play free and clear. There's zero pressure on them at all. Nobody thinks they're going to win. Go out there and have some fun playing basketball. And sometimes not having that pressure on you makes you play better. Boston's playing with a really, really tight sphincter in this one because they're supposed to win. They're supposed to crush the Knicks.
Yes.
Everybody thinks they're one of the best teams. Like, everybody's already penciled them in to the NBA Finals, right?
So our NBA insider, Bob Fesco.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Like I've done this before.
God. Watch this one game all year and nails it. Tight sphincter, no pressure, should be great, should be entertaining because it's the historic Boston Knicks franchise. Floor's yours, guys. I'm just here to be the judge.
It gave us everything we wanted in a sporting event last night, and I'm always very cautious to talk NBA or NHL because it's such a niche sport, but this time of the year, it's the playoffs, and it's not about what the game is. It's not about the NBA. It's not about the NHL. It's about what's going to give me a great event. What's going to give me something fun to watch? What's going to captivate me? And if you were not captivated last night by the Knicks and Celtics, then I don't know what to tell you, because I am, again, not a basketball fan. I don't even care about the NCAA tournament most years, right? And I'm watching that game last night, and I could feel the butterflies. I'm getting nervous. I'm pacing. And you know, I felt like, you know, little Bobby Fesco from, you know, middle school and high school days again, watching Patrick Ewing and the boys play.
Bobby.
And, you know, well, I was a little bit bigger back then, but the little fat Bobby rolling around going, yeah.
There's
Patrick Ewing. There's John Starks. There's, you know, Reggie Miller getting trash talked by Spike Lee and all this kind of stuff. Like, it brought back childhood a little bit last night and started to think about some of those old Boston games. And then they showed the old Celtic footage of the last time these two teams played this late in the playoffs in 1984 and all this stuff, and the old Boston Garden. I'm getting all the feels back, and people are smoking cigarettes in the arena back then, and it's glorious. And I'm like, this is fun. And then the Knicks start this comeback and absolutely wipe the floor with the Celtics. I mean, you're up 20 at home, bro. You got
to win that game.
You have to win that game. And that's why I do. I do go back to bad coaching on this one, because you need to take timeouts. You need to stop runs. You need to change things up. The Knicks went on a 31-11 freaking run last night in that game. Like, that's coaching. Bobby Mottola needs to call timeouts and stop the thing and go inside and play, slow it down a little bit instead of launching threes. And if you can't get through to your players in the postseason, then you don't need to be there as the head coach of the team. I mean, we saw Jokic coaching up the freaking Nuggets last night, you know, in their game.
They don't have a coach.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like you have a coachless team that won again, and you have a team with a coach that is a useless figure on the sidelines for the Boston Celtics. Like, you should be pissed. Your coach sucks, and he cost them the game.
He's a fantastic coach. He had a bad game last night. There's no question. So did the Celtics, to be fair. 15 of those 60, that was their three-point.
15 of 60.
25% from the line. And you watched the game, guys.
They missed 45 three-point shots.
And not all 45 of those misses were even close to contested. A lot of those were wide open that they make. So I'm like, what are you supposed to do? But I agree with you. Come that fourth quarter, the Knicks are back in that game. There are two things that worked for you. Your Jays inside. Jason and Jaylen Brown could get
in the garage is where you have the Jays,
by the way. 100%. Yeah. They're bigger. They're bigger. They're stronger. And they can get inside of that free-throw line, get inside of that paint. And you saw that the mid-range game was working. So I'm sitting there infuriated, like what you're saying, Bob, to why can't we go inside? You know, Jason Tatum shoots two contested threes at the end of the game. You've got Jalen Brunson on you. You're 6'10". You're the most athletic, biggest, strongest guy on the court. Go act like it. Demand some space. Demand the basketball. You're sitting there passing it to Jalen Brown. He's 1-for-10 from three. You're sitting there passing it to Derek White. Derek White's 4-for-16. Exactly. I never heard of him. All NBA defender, third best player on our team. But the Celtics last night, man, this is the pros and the cons, right? You know, you look at their three-point basketball strategy, and when it works, it is beautiful. And when it doesn't, you say, hey, could you adjust? But he doesn't do that. That is what he does. He's live or die.
Okay. And that opens the big Pandora's box to this three-point stuff in the NBA. And really analytics in all of sports. That's an analytically driven thing, whatever they did last night, right? That's why, again, keep the nerds at Harvard. Let them figure out cures for cancer and things of that nature. And stay away from sports, because what they never consider, and this is life in general, like with the stadium stuff going on, what you don't consider is, what if they do go to a vote and the voters say no? What is your backup plan? We don't have one, right? What if you have this analytical plan that goes out there and it's not working? Where is your backup plan? And there are so many people, and I think this is a good thing maybe, but like, the more successful you get in life, the more money you make, the better you are at what you do, the bigger your ego goes, right? Mm-hmm. And you get to this point where you think everything we do is going to work, and you never prepare for what happens if it doesn't work, right? And they always say failing to prepare is preparing to fail. And that's where a lot of these teams are that are so beholden to this analytic crap in sports is that they prepare all of this stuff and they miss 45 three-point shots, and they have no way to adjust or change when it's not working. Because the analytics are nice because it's math, but there are humans involved. And math can tell you about humans. Maybe your wife is mad at you and you're having a bad day, or you're the guy out there who played for Mizzou and you're playing for Denver, you just don't feel like playing. Like, all of these kind of things, they don't factor in that human element and that human nature. Somebody just being cold, for that matter. You're shooting and missing 45 three, which is, I think, an NBA record, if I'm not mistaken, right? You're playing like that. Eventually, you have to take a timeout and pause that thing down and say,
Let's switch this up.
Yeah, where's our backup plan?
Yeah, I would have loved for that to happen.
And the Celtics didn't have a backup plan. And if you don't have a backup plan, you're left holding the bag going, what do we do next?
So I would say, devil's advocate to Max defense, that's an anomaly. That's not going to happen. Brown's not going to go over 10 again.
True.
You play a 7-game series, and that whole theory that you just had won them a title last year.
100%.
Like, that's the same. It's the same team.
It is.
Perzingis not playing a lot kind of hurt.
Yeah,
right.
Need to figure out what's going on.
And then also, Jason Tatum's got to figure out how to guard OG.
OG was huge last night.
Tatum's got to figure that out a little bit. And then also, the other thing too, for the Celtics, you know, Tatum's your guy. At some point in a game, Brunson did his job. Brunson was like, hey, you know, my team stood up for me when I wasn't in the game. Then he came in, hit those two big, massive threes.
Massive.
The Karl-Anthony Towns tip-in was huge. So they were more clutch, and they were bigger inside last night.
They were.
That's game one. Now we get six more. And the best thing for this show is that we continue to have this series.
Yeah.
Coming up on
One other thing. Can we get to that on the other? We can get to that on the other side.
Yeah. We're going to bring up one more thing about that game. We'll bring up the Royals. Also, two questions of something that happened in baseball last night. I want to bring up to the text line and to Bob and Mac as well. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home. Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Right back into it on a Monday, Tuesday.
Never today. Fall behind. Yes. I saw Celtics. Somebody on X.
First time I've ever seen you in a Royal shirt today.
No, it is really the first time. Like you took your Chiefs coat off, threw your
today.
Celtic shirt down, and now you're sporting the Royals. They got 20 wins, and
absolutely,
they're on pace to have the best pitching staff in the history of their organization right now. They literally are right now. The best pitching staff in the history of Royals baseball.
Was the best 85?
No, it was not. Because I actually looked 80? It up yesterday. I was having a conversation with someone yesterday about this. Right now, the Royals have a 3.16 team ERA, according to baseballreference.com. That may be a little out of whack. But 76, they were a 3.21 ERA. 72, they had a 3.24 ERA. 71, 3.25 ERA. Mm. You realize 2013 was the best pitching staff of that 13-14-15 run. 3.45 ERA in 2013 for the Royals.
Big game, James.
Yeah, that's right. It was. 2014, 3.51 ERA, and then 3.73 in 2015. So that 2013 team, man, they were a pretty good baseball team that we never really think about all that much because of what happened in 14 and 15.
Well, obviously. I mean, 13 was the start of it.
Yeah, it was. It was beginning of the kind of that climb. I wanted to go back real quick and talk about that Mottola guy coaching on the sidelines for Boston last night. Let me ask you this. One of the biggest, I don't care. One of the biggest things we talk about in the NFL every week, you know, sports fans talk about halftime adjustments, right? Like we live and die on the halftime adjustment conversation, which again, the locker room in the NFL at halftime, you got time to take a piss and go outside and call it a day, right? That's all you're doing. You're not doing much else, right? And so, you know, but honestly, like if Andy's got a game plan and it's not working, isn't there a plan B? Wouldn't you expect Andy Reid to have a plan B or Steve Spagnuolo to have a plan B? I look at some of these great coaches and I think, okay, you have a plan B. You have to know when to enact plan B. It just didn't look like Boston had plan B last night. And you've got to go into a game knowing that plan A may not work. What is your fallback? And the guys and the coaches that don't have those fallback plans are the ones that are left holding the bag, man.
Yeah, plan A was working until about, what, 5 minutes and 47 seconds left in the third quarter?
Yeah, around then.
And they were up 20.
Mid-third, and then it was just like, okay, this obviously isn't working. And part of it's that, and part of it's, you know, this Celtics team's done this for years. They get up 20 in the third, and they play stagnant, they play ISO, they stop moving. It's frustrating.
Well, you get bored after a while. You do. And I mean, being up 20, I mean, Justy and I were kind of talking about it off the air. What did I say?
Justy
and Dusty. It doesn't matter, right?
Busty, Justy, Dusty.
Yeah.
Nixon 5.
Yeah. I'll go 6 because they already got the 1.
Yeah, there you go.
And now they got home court advantage, speaking of that. I mean, did you see the Garden last night? That place was packed out. People at the Yankee Stadium were losing their minds over it. the Madison Square Garden, not the fake one up in Boston. Yeah. And so, Boston and St. Louis are very similar in my heart. Both are second-tier cities, craving to be better than a bigger-tier city that's just by them. I mean, Boston is St. Louis. I mean, second-tier to New York. St. Louis has always been second-tier to Chicago. Right. Crappy pizza in St. Louis, crappy pizza in Boston.
I know pizza in Boston.
I mean, so... what was I talking about?
I don't know. The Royals?
The Plan B, the Royals, the Spags, the Chiefs. I mean, we covered it all in that segment.
Do you know that... never mind.
Here's the pitch. Slider hit on the ground, through the left side and into left field, a base hit. Winston to score from third. Salvi goes to second. And Michael Garcia's got another hit in the month of May. An RBI single through the drawn-in infield, and the Royals have a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the fourth.
While wearing white uniforms with Royals across the chest, right?
And then it was...
lined up the left field line. That's going to get the run home. And Waters will have extra bases as he speeds to second base with an RBI double.
Should have known Waters was going to be a great player when your team's logo this year is Fountains Up.
That's right.
I will stop there. But again, we talked yesterday... Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be him. Bobby Witt Jr. was him. Bases, walks, steals, runs, speed, all the above. Cole Reagans was your ace last night. A lot of pitches, but what, 11 strikeouts in 6 innings or whatever it was?
It was a good rehab start against a double-A team last night.
No doubt, you know? Yeah, bullpen session.
Yeah.
And then there's Michael Garcia.
It was a simulated game last night, would you call that?
Yeah. I mean, you didn't even need to watch it.
No.
But again, that was a game. And so... that to me last night was a game of the best of both worlds, right? To steal a line from Rookie of the Year and Rigma. But the thing is
Rookie of the Year, the mother in Rookie of the Year is Pete Crow Armstrong's mom.
Oh, I thought his mom and dad were Lance and Cheryl.
A lot of people have said that, but that's not the case. He's so, MVP.
But the thing about last night was, I think throughout this season, what you're going, and last night you got the best of both of it, and I'll explain. I think throughout the season, you are going to have games, because that's what good teams do with great players. You are going to have those games where Bobby Witt Jr. or Cole Reagans will be the reason why you won.
Yeah, right? Sure. Yeah.
You take the NBA, for example. There's going to be a game that Boston wins by 20. No offense. And that's because Tatum and Brown were both Tatum and Brown. And you're going to be like, well, that's what they do. They both went 5 of 6 from the arc. They both had 25 points. They were just too much. The Royals are going to have that with Bobby Witt Jr. and Cole Reagans. And they kind of had that last night. Bobby Witt Jr. was the five-tool player that he was, and Cole Reagans was the ace. They're also going to have games where they're going to need somebody else to step up. And that was what everybody was talking about at the beginning of the season. When is it going to be Vinny? When is it going to be Sal? When is it going to be somebody that's going to do it? And last night, those people also were Drew Waters and Michael Garcia, who continue to be great surprises of this season. And last night against the White Sox, you got both of it. You got Bobby being dominant, Cole being dominant. You got Waters coming up with a key double and an RBI. And Michael Garcia knocked in Bobby Witt Jr. when he needed to.
Yeah.
So last night, again, the White Sox, I don't care. You're now 20-16. You're 4 games above .500. You're one of 10 teams with 20 wins.
That's many teams already in baseball has 20 wins.
And what's funny is 6 of them are in the AL Central and in the NL West.
Wow.
The two best divisions in baseball have 6 20-win teams. So, again, more wins than the Yankees for now.
Do you think the Rockies will get to 20 wins on the season?
I hope, but not probably until the All-Star break, which is crazy to think.
I mean, set the over-under when the Rockies at 20 wins, guys.
July 15th.
Remember, the White Sox won 41 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to say July 15th?
Yeah.
How many do they have now? They pass 5?
6.
Do they have 6?
So they got to win 14 more.
And by the All-Star break?
A month and a half. So they might be at 12 and a half by the All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But no, like, and I thought that, you know, and then, you know, Lynch was good. Like, Estevez was good. Your bullpen did its thing. That was a great all-in-all win. Yes, it was the White Sox, but you go back to the original narrative. Beat the bad teams.
Yep.
Beat them in dominant force, whether or not 3-0 does it for you or not. I don't know. But that's how they won last night.
Well, look, the White Sox never had a chance. You texted me when Waters had that hit, went up 1-0. He says the Royals game over, and I said
Garcia.
And I said yes.
Yeah, the game over.
The game is over. The Royals were up 1-0. That's all they needed.
And Reagan's already had 7 strikeouts.
Yeah, that's all they needed. The White Sox can't score. I mean, it was painful to watch that team try to hit. They have some decent enough pieces. You know, that Mydroth kid is one of their stars at second base. I like him. I think he's going to be a nice player. Lou Robert's going to get traded before you know it to some other team, and he's going to take off and have himself a hell of a second half of the season playing for a winner. But they have a very tough time scoring runs. So you get up early 1-0 in this game, and that's pretty much all she wrote, you know, for the Chicago White Sox. I just love the fact that it's Drew Waters and it's Michael Garcia that are getting the job done for this organization, because that's what you want. You want the guys that are making the league minimum to go up there and really produce and become guys that you can count on, because you need those guys over the course of the season. And it doesn't matter what sport it is, you need those guys that maybe you weren't counting on at the beginning of the year. And I don't think a lot of people, clearly not counting on Drew Waters, right? He was in the minor leagues, and I don't think a lot of fans were in on Michael Garcia, even though last year I couldn't get off the Michael Garcia kick. I kept saying, I really like this guy, and it's good to see him kind of bust out of the slump that he had last year and really, really own the plate right now. I mean, he's a marvel to watch at the plate. He's the second best player on this team, as I continue to say from last week, and I enjoy watching him. There's certain baseball players you just enjoy watching, right? Jonathan India is one. Michael Garcia is another, and Drew Waters is starting to become that guy for me as well. Like, guys you can count on to come through when you need it, and you feel comfortable when they're up there at the plate.
So, quick question for you guys before I get into your hypotheticals and the other thing. What was the one take we had yesterday? I don't want to give myself credit, but I'm going to, that I brought up about your birthday, MJ Melendez.
Yeah,
right? Your birthday is April 19th.
Yeah.
April 20th, MJ Melendez, or April 19th, MJ goes down, right? We think maybe that could be a shock of the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
We thought, okay, him getting sent down and Waters staying would be maybe an uptick in Waters' game. I never knew how much our boss listens to our show. So he joined the drive yesterday.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Do you want to know what his take was on the drive? This isn't Cody.
All right, guys. MJ Melendez was sent down on Saturday, April 19th.
Oh.
Since then, the Royals have gone 11-3 and have beaten good teams like the Astros, the Rays, the Orioles. They beat the Tigers on that final Sunday to end that horrible road trip. 11-3 since he got sent down. And as someone who doesn't really believe in sports coincidences, I don't think this is a coincidence. One, you're obviously replacing a player in the lineup who was hitting under 100. And then second, when a guy who's been on the roster for the last 3 years is sent down, it does send shockwaves through that clubhouse. It makes a difference. Maybe it makes everybody focus in a little bit more, thinking, hey, this could be me next. It gives Drew Waters a little bump in confidence to say, hey, they didn't send me down. I now get to play right field every day. Drew Waters, one of the hottest hitters on the team. I don't think there's any coincidence that MJ Melendez was sent down 2 weeks ago and the Royals are playing their best baseball of the season and now three games above 500 heading into a really, really important homestand where you get four against the White Sox and three against Boston.
Stolen take, clearly. Listen, I mean, and he should be listening to the show. We're pretty good at what we do here, patting ourselves on the back, right, a little bit. Go. Thanks for listening, Steven. Wow, that was an original take right there. I mean, next you're going to tell us that Andy Reid is retiring. I'm going to try to be nice here for a second, right? Sometimes when you remove a slug, everybody gets better. And I mean, I hate to use that term, you know, as a slug, as a big league baseball player. That guy was a slug in the lineup, man. He stunk and he wasn't listening. And that's the other thing, right? You have the Hall of Famer telling you how to get better and you choose not to. So you remove him from the equation. And we talked about it yesterday. You can kind of feel the air go out of the room. Everybody's at ease. Everybody's relaxed. And you know what else it does? It sends a message to Drew Waters. And we'll just talk about Drew Waters because most people would have said when whoever came back from the DL that day, that it would have been Drew Waters to go back down. The Royals said, nah, it ain't going to be you. It's going to be this guy here who's hitting, you know, I-29. So go take your ride up the road and enjoy Omaha. But they showed confidence in Drew Waters. And sometimes in life, right, it doesn't matter what job you are. You need that one person to show confidence in you and you take off and you go. And boy, it sure seems like that was the case with Drew Waters. Like he had that sigh of relief like, oh, my God, it's not me going down. They believe in me. I don't have to go to the plate every single time and try to hit a 5-run home run to stay at the big league level. I'm just going to relax. I'm going to see ball, hit ball. And now he's hitting 290 almost or whatever it is on the season, driving in runs, becoming a bat that you can rely on in the lineup, taking all of that pressure away from him and giving him the opportunity to just go out there and play. It's probably the first time. No, I wouldn't say probably the first time. It's the first time that he's had that opportunity at the big league level in either organization that he was in where they just said, here you go, boy. You know, go out there and get it done. Go take care of business. We got your back, bro. Let's go. You're our guy. And Drew Waters goes out there and he's playing free and he's playing easy and he's playing, you know, great baseball right now. And I think a lot of that has to do with that. That's credit to JJ. That's credit to, you know, Q and all those guys for saying, yeah, we're going to send this guy down who stinks right now. We believe in you. Go out there and get him. You're going to play every day. And the pressure of Drew Waters having to drive to the ballpark, wondering if he's going to play or getting one pinch hit opportunity and feeling like you need to make the most of it every time. They've managed Drew Waters brilliantly in this situation. I love it.
This is where I get nitpicky, and I know a lot of people will say don't mess with nice things when they're rolling the right way, right? No one says that saying, but it's just made up.
That's a superstitious thing, but I don't disagree with it. You know?
I would say this. If I could have one be and moan about the Royals right now, I think they're rolling. They're playing great baseball. But when you're playing bad teams, I think it's okay to like maybe mix something up. What would you guys be in favor or unfavor of maybe having Waters lead off, Michael hitting fourth, and bump Sal down to fifth and let India hit sixth?
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Waters,
I mean, what you ultimately want to do, right, like the batting order, like if you hit one, you're supposed to hit the most times, right? I never understand why you don't stack your lineup at the top, right? You want, who do you want to see and hit the most, right? The guys that are the hottest, right? Yeah. So that would be like Bradley Cooper, you know, guys like that, the hottest dudes in the world. They were all at the Met Gala last night, looking fantastic.
You see Joe Burrow? Oh.
I did not see Joe Burrow, but I heard he got out of the car with two supermodels at that thing last night. Uh-huh. Like Joe Burrow, man, street cred for you. But that's a really good threesome. Yeah, but
we'll get to that.
Yeah, but also too, like you know, you put your best guys at the top of the order, so they get the most at bat. So I would absolutely go Waters, Garcia, Bobby, you know, in whatever order you want to do at the top. Yeah,
I just think that Garcia's shown that he can knock guys in, so I want to keep him in an option where he can put somebody in from the bases. But Waters has shown that he can get on. and he's got enough speed, and he's kind of a minute five-tool guy. But you let him lead off. Just try it out. Like, let him lead off. You take a little bit of pressure off India. You take, you know, look, because Vern said that yesterday. Like, if you do get a bat, you know, and it does become successful, then maybe you can take a little pressure off the captain who's, you know, got the hip issue and mm-hmm. age is coming, and he doesn't have to be the, you know, the captain that saves everything. And, you know, maybe let Waters lead off, then go Bobby, then go Vinny, then go, you know, then go Garcia, then go Sal, then go India. And then 7, 8, 9, that's where you do your Isbell and, you know, Canna and all those guys. And, you know, at that point, you should have had your table set and eight all in that, you know, time span of your 1 through 6. Because, look, now you have the opportunity to kind of, like, see what these guys can do. They've done it long enough to where they've given you proof that they're here for the long haul. Because, like you said with Drew Waters, it wasn't him. It wasn't me. It was him. This is, I'm running out of time in general of my own career to be a successful MLB player. And then Michael Garcia figured something out. And when things are rolling, I know you don't always want to mess with it, but also, like, what if it works? Like, what if Waters is the table setter and Waters gets a single, Bobby gets a double, 1-0.
Yeah, 1-0.
You've
yeah.
reset it, and now you've got Michael Garcia coming up with 3 outs still to go, and Vinny doesn't have to hit the 2-run bomb. Vinny can fly out or line out or get a base hit, and then all of a sudden, Bobby, you got a double, still gets the RBI, you have more opportunity to score runs. Again, I'm happy where the team is. I'm not upset with it. I'm just saying, if I could tinker with it a little bit, like, don't mess with nice things. But if I could, I would move just those two things around.
Yeah, but India's come on of late, too, I think. At least it feels like India's come on of
no,
late
he
for
has.
Me.
He, he's know, doing, right? No, like, he, India's fine. Yeah. I'm just saying from what I just...
So at this point in time, with the way, like I feel that he's playing at this point in time, leave him where he is right now. But if it starts to go south a little bit and you feel like you need a change, I wouldn't hesitate, you know, changing things up. I know baseball players are creatures of habit, and at least they used to be. I don't know how much anymore they're the creature of habit with, you know, knowing where they're going to be in the lineup every single day and... You know, I know I'm going to be hitting third, and then you get to the ballpark and you're hitting second. Boy, that is a mind warp for a lot of these guys.
Sure.
Because, you know, that's just the way they operate in baseball. So I don't know if that's still a thing like it's been in the past, because I know, you know, managers now and the analytic people will jumble the lineup constantly based on what they consider the best matchups out there. They don't, you know, sometimes consider who's hot and just put the hot guys again at the top of the lineup and let them do their thing. But, you know, we'll see how, you know, Q decides to manage the thing. But I like the way that India is playing right now. And for me, ultimately, like, this is a very well-balanced team. One of the more well-balanced teams that we've seen in Royals history, because when the hitting wasn't there, the pitching stepped up. And if the pitching hasn't been there on the night, hey, they go out and they get a few runs. And so they've got each other's back. And I like that as well, too. Like, this is a true team that we're watching right now. And they figured it out. And also, too, before we move on, credit Q. You go 2-8 on a road trip and you're under 500 and everybody in town saying same old Royals again. And then you rip off 11-13 or whatever it's been. You know,
12-2 now.
12-2, so yeah. 12-14. You've ripped off 12-14. You got to credit the manager on that one. That's like, you know, people wanted him to flip a spread and all that nonsense when they were 2-8 on that road trip. That's why you remain calm. That's why you say, hey guys, we're going to figure this thing out, and they have figured this thing out.
So, not really a Royals take here as we wrap up this segment, but there were two things last night that caught my eye from the baseball world of, I want your guys' perspective on it. One was, I don't know if you saw the brutal crash from that kid from Cincinnati to the wall.
One time is enough.
Okay, broke both forearms.
I mean, broken both.
Mm-mm. So my question is, Matt Olson is the one that hit that ball.
Yeah.
He circled all the bases and scored.
Yeah.
Is he in the wrong or is he in the right?
No, he's in the right. The ball's in play.
Okay. Because everybody else stopped. Yeah, that's that,
you never stop. Like, like watching high school soccer, right? And last night, shout out Emmy, okay? And I will shout out Emmy for Olathe East last night, because she had the goal of the year. And one of these things that, you know, you watch the kids, it's like when somebody falls down, all the kids, you know, they tend to stop and they watch. Oh, my God. And the ball's still in play. Mm-hmm. Last night at the game against Olathe North, the goalie for North put the ball down. And everybody just kind of stopped. And Emmy goes, to hell with that, and kicked it right into the net and you know, scored a goal. And I'm like, that's what you need to do. Okay. You have to continue to play when the ball is in play. It's unfortunate that that dude busted up his forearm, but them's the breaks, as they like to say. And you've got to go out there and you got to just continue to play until the whistle blows or till the umpire stops the game. I have no problem with that.
That fall looked terrible. I just watched that. That was awful.
It was awful. But, wow. I mean, you still got to continue to play.
No, I agree.
You
know? Watching it, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, are we ever going to get over the point where it's okay for pitchers to pimp it too? Because I don't know if you saw the Tigers and Angels game. So leadoff guy, first pitch of the game off target, screwball. You haven't seen this one yet.
No.
Okay. So first play of the game, this guy for the Angels leadoff pit, first pitch, Tarik Skubal last year's Cy Young. Takes Tarik Skubal deep to the rocks. Home run.
Who was it?
I don't know his name. Irrelevant. But he pimps it. He stares at the ball, flips the bat, does the whole thing. And then his next at bat, Tarik Skubal struck him out with heat high, swung and missed. Mm-hmm. And Tarik Skubal stared him down.
So?
And he said, I can do that too. Now go sit down.
Woo.
And the guy looks back and they're starting to go back
Love
and forth.
It.
And it's like, in baseball, everybody gets mad with the bat flips. But if you flip your bat, the pitcher is going to be able to, you know, do his thing too. When he gets you, you do your thing. You get him, you do your thing. It's got to be both. It can't just be one. And so my question to you is, it should be unanimously allowed that if you pimp the pitcher can pimp the batter.
It's a sports trash talk.
Yeah.
And then Tarik Skubal is like, I apologize. Let my emotion. No, don't apologize.
We don't need to apologize.
That guy took you bridge.
Soft.
You then struck him out with heat in his eyes. And he said, I can do that too. Go sit down now. And it started a benches clearing brawl. You know, the guys at the bullpen, come on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Hold him back. So come on. If we can flip bats, we can flip fingers as a pitcher.
I like the showmanship. It's fun. Yeah. Remember, like, I think there was an era where we forgot that sports is supposed to be fun.
Mm.
You know, it's okay to show emotion. That's what you want. Fans are showing emotion. Players show emotion. Fans love when players show emotion because it means they care. And a lot of times we look at the players, we're like, we care more than you do, Michael Porter Jr. And so you like the fact that they show emotion. You like the fact that they're kind of bought in to what's going on out there. I have no issue with that at all, and nobody else should. And if you got issues with bat flipping or pitcher celebrating after a big strikeout or something like that, why are you even watching sports?
Coming up on the other side, we get to our hot corner on a Tuesday here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what you up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Slapping the bass along on a 6 o'clock hour block in the morning here on a Tuesday in Kansas City. Damn glad to have you. Another gorgeous one out there today.
It's supposed to be a beautiful day.
Your boy stepping out of his comfort zone tonight for the grill.
What are you doing?
I'm doing grilled chicken euros.
Oh, ooh, nice.
That's good.
So, yeah, going to do a little switch up. No lamb. Just chicken, going to get the Mediterranean seasoning. Ain't Love done.
Yeah. Are you buying the chicken tenders for that, or are you going with the chicken breast and then slicing it up?
I'll buy the breasts are on sale at Hy-Vee, by the way. But I'm going to do the tenders, marinate them throughout the day. After we leave here, go to the store, chop up some romaine, get a little Greek vinaigrette, some feta cheese, a little red onion, go to this place called Sahara. And grab their pitas and their tzatziki sauce.
Yeah, the tzatziki's the key. I love tzatziki dip. It's so good.
Take a bath in that stuff.
Yeah, you really need that. That does sound really, really good. I was watching The Kitchen on Food Network over the weekend.
Great show.
It is. And I love all those cooking shows. Like Saturday and Sunday mornings, like from 7 to 10 a.m., I'm just sitting there vegging out watching cooking shows. And they were talking about the chicken tenders. And they're like, just spend the extra dollar a pound and buy the chicken tenders and save yourself the time of chopping them all up.
The tenders are the way to go. They're always literally tender, and they're the best flavor.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do. You just grill a bunch up, go to the cutting board, throw it in that pita, tzatziki, Greek salad on top, fold it up.
Mm, that does sound really good. I may steal that. And it's a Greek taco, too, and it's Tuesday.
Yeah, and it's Cinco, or wait, it's...
It's Seis
de Mayo today. Yeah,
so this is when you go Mediterranean.
Yeah.
No, and you can do it on the stone or you can do it on the grill, however you want to do it.
Yeah. I like that. I might try to do something like that. But, you know, again, soccer again tonight. And I got to give a shout out, too. Coach Reynolds is getting honored at the Royals game tonight from Olathe East. And we were supposed to go, but now Delaney got called up to the bigger team. And so I'm going to watch her play. She's like the Cags of Olathe. Yeah, she is wearing 14, too. You're right about that. Yeah, she is wearing 14. Yeah. So she got the call up, so she's going to play, you know, from the freshman level to the JV level. So I'm going to go watch her.
Awesome.
So Jen's, you know, conquer divide. She's going to go out to
the
game tonight.
So she's a nervous wreck all day.
Who's that? Jen? No, I don't think so. No, but again, 100 kids are going. I mean, that tells you like what Mr. Reynolds is all about and why you honor them with the Blue KC coaches with character. And if you want to nominate a coach, you can do that at the Blue KC website and nominate some great coaches of high school level in this area. But Mr. Reynolds does an unbelievable job. And I've talked about him before. before, like tennis banquet, every single player had a story about something that he did that meant something to them. And so, I mean, you can feel and understand why some of these coaches make such a big impact. So he's going to be honored tonight at the Royals game. Cheer him on when he throws that first pitch, and cheer louder for me because I'll be at an Olathe East soccer game tonight and whatnot. So divide and conquer type thing. But it really does go to show you 100 students are going to a Royals game on a Tuesday night to honor their coach. It's pretty wild, man. It's awesome. A great impact that that guy has made for a lot of kids at Olathe East. So congratulations to Coach Reynolds on that one tonight.
Yeah, that's the positive about this show is we can go home, get all your stuff for dinner, take a nice little nap if you want. And then 3 o'clock, you can hit the patio until about 7, and you're a good guy.
You're good.
Not, you're not too frattish if you do it that way. That's old frat style.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You're in bed by 8.
That's right. Also, today is National Nurses Day, so shout out to all of you that do
all the
Lord's
nurses.
Work.
Yeah.
Hands off to all those nurses out there.
Congratulations.
Shout out KDV. Shout out LP. All you out there that are great nurses, congratulations. Have a day doing everything that we can't do. So thanks to you. But they don't have a hot corner today, but there are some people that do have a hot corner today. And I can start this one out because the inevitable happened yesterday, boys. The Baltimore Ravens decided to part ways with Justin Tucker.
I can't believe it. Football reasons.
Football decision.
That's what they say.
As you can see my eye roll.
Yeah, they drafted a guy in the 6th round as a kicker.
Right.
And then they showed video of him hitting, 75-yard dingers from a practice field?
Yeah.
And then the very next day, we've decided to make a business decision and step away from Justin Tucker, who apparently is a little creepy.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe a little creepy. Allegedly.
Also, I can get my voice back. Also, an opera singer as well, apparently. That was going viral last night for some reason. But
are you being serious about that?
Yeah, he knows it in like 4 different languages.
Oh, no. He's got pipes.
Really?
Yeah, he's a professional opera singer.
He's also like an alleged professional creeper. I mean,
But I thought it was interesting. They had an opportunity to, so maybe it's Baltimore, maybe it's Justin Tucker, but they had an opportunity to really, you know, give an explanation. They didn't. They said business decision. Guy has his worst season of his career. Guy does something really creepy. They draft somebody. We saw it all. We saw the path of what was going on. And then you took the low route and said, yeah, business decision.
Mm-hmm. Coincidence? I think not.
Right. There was definitely a tack under the chair. And, you know, there's something that needs to be said there. And I think it's a tough Tuesday because it was handled the most like kind of NFL way. You let him go because he's not a person of character for your team anymore.
He's not a person of character who can still play. Had he still been able to play and didn't have the season he did last year.
Right.
They're looking the other way. The NFL has shown they're good at looking the other way for players that are good.
Right. So a very tough Tuesday or a hot corner for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, franchise. Bad look for them yesterday. I mean, really bad look because everybody and their brother called them out on this one yesterday. Like, you know, it is what it is. Just admit it. But you can't because then what if something doesn't happen? Then he turns around and sues your organization. So, you know, I get it.
Well, good luck. He's got bigger fish to fry.
He does. He absolutely does.
I think it was it Trey Wingo? Yeah, Trey Wingo said, it's a quote, if he was still as good as he used to be at football, we'd probably stand by him, but he isn't, and there's other issues.
Oh, yeah, decision. Right. Yeah, right. That's exactly. Yeah, exactly. If you're good at football, you get an opportunity to play. We've seen it everywhere or just sports in general. We've seen it. If you're a really good athlete, yeah, they look the other way. My tough Tuesdays go into the KC Mo. We got the World Cup coming here in 14 months, and they got a lot of work to do to get the city ready, man. They really got a lot of work to do to get this city ready. And I want to start with just Warnell and Holmes. And I've been complaining about these roads for 30 years now.
Is this 2012?
I mean, but exactly, though, yeah. Dusty. Like, how about paving Warnell and Holmes and figuring it out instead of making it an utter disaster? And, you know, I don't know how much longer I'm going to have to go over to Center High School where my daughter did her stage right stuff because I think she's moving on from that. But every week you go over there and you're driving on these roads and it's potholes after potholes after potholes after potholes. Spend some damn money and fix the roads, especially those two. Those are two major arteries in your city. Do you want the world coming here and seeing some of this ancillary stuff that isn't right and people having a bad impression of Kansas City? Like, you got 14 months to figure this thing out. I hope Mayor L steps it up and gets a lot of things cleaned up in this city from the garbage that's all over the place to the roads that are bad. Like, we've got to put our best foot forward for the world that's coming here in 14 months.
It's not a long time.
And we got a lot of work to do. Mayor L needs to focus on cleaning up the city and making sure that this thing looks beautiful when the entire world descends upon Kansas City. And it really really starts with Wernel and Holmes. Two just disasters, eyesores, embarrassments that Casey Moe has had for 30 years and seemingly can never figure it out.
Yeah, I think you guys know where I head with this. Celtics joke would be my heart.
Chokeholds.
The chokeholds, however you call them, they lost the same way. I think that the Chiefs do a lot. You watch a Chiefs game and you're like, damn, they had that game. They made the mistakes. Yes, the other team took advantage of those mistakes.
How many times have we recently said that, though, with the Chiefs?
I mean, they haven't lost a lot, but if you look at their losses, I mean, the Eagles, maybe if you want to take away from that, but you look at the regular season losses, I would say,
Buffalo?
Buffalo. That was definitely their loss.
Buffalo.
I mean, even their close wins, you look at the Carolina Panthers game, it's like, damn, really? Panthers? They were making mistakes. They didn't take advantage.
The board factor of the
regular season,
playing the Panthers.
The order Chiefs take and Celtics take is that was the Indianapolis game, Alex Smith versus Andrew Luck.
You
were in control. You had the game, and then you just started seeing little things that added up to bigger things that add up to a loss.
Yeah, it's really frustrating, and I think it goes back to the big three: Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and our head coach Joe Mazzulla let us down last night. The role players were good. Kristaps got hurt. Sam Hauser got hurt. The bench got lighter, but you've got to step up. The three guys did not.
Let me ask you guys this real quick. Do you guys have any concern for Jalen Brunson at this point in time? Not as a Celtics fan. He missed that teardropper to end regulation, right? Yes. And then went 0-for-4 in overtime.
Yeah. No one's talking about that.
I am. Because I saw him miss that shot, and I went, oh, okay. And then he got into overtime and missed those back-to-back threes. Mm. Bad misses for Jalen Brunson. And he's missed 5 straight shots now. And I know it's a minor deal, but he's your catalyst.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to see how he comes out in game 2 and if that's passive, because that was a big miss for him in regulation. Had they lost the game, series would have been over for the Knicks, because you miss that shot, you lose the game. Oh, that's my God, huge. It's hard to recover from. But he's missed 5 straight shots and was 0-for-4 in overtime last night. I don't know. I just look at some little things like that kind of...
And when they came back from 20, Brunson was not on the court.
No. Well, he was also in foul trouble.
Yeah, but that's... I think part of the point is that they could move and actually have offense without him for once.
And he's the greatest Nick ever.
To take the devil's advocate, you're also not in overtime if it's not for Jalen Brunson.
Right.
He hits those two big threes.
Huge shots.
That were back-to-back, so let's also put that into effect.
Right.
And also... He's the guy you want shooting the ball.
He is.
At least he took the shot, Tatum. But, like, that's the thing. Like, he took the shot. He missed it. He knew it. And luckily for him, the second best player on the floor last night was OG. And he happened to be on the same team. And when Brunson was out, OG was stepping
fantastic.
Up. So, I mean, it's... Yeah, I mean, it. 7 games, please, of the least entertaining series of the entire playoffs. Coming up next, we'll get into what I had to say last night about these Royals, plus what J.J. Piccola had to say about Jack Caglione when he joined Cody and Gold yesterday here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.